evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Did you hear that? With our tongue, we bless God our Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And he says this, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. That we should not murder people. That we should not breathe death. This commandment speaks also to your lack of concern and apathy towards people. That is not an escape. That if you say, I'm just going to avoid this person because they make me uncomfortable, or the language barrier is too great, or we're in different stages of life, or I just don't have the time, then you are a murderer. That what it means for us to not murder means that we seek the well-being and good of our neighbor. We seek the well-being and good of anyone that God puts before us. That you and I shall preserve life. You and I should give life. You're here today and you are surrounded by lots of people, children, teens, people from many diverse cultures and states and countries and continents even. And it's easy for you and for me to figure, well, I haven't physically harmed them, so I've not murdered them. And it is easy for you and me to just ignore them and not care. And I want to say to you that there are people who are here who are longing to be known, longing for fellowship, who are lonely even within the household of God, where that shouldn't be the case, who feel like outcasts even amongst God's people, and they are in despair. And it is easy for you to say, well, it's just the pastor's job or the deacon's job or the elder's job to take care of them. And you murder them. Herman Melville is right when he says, Heaven have mercy on us. Heaven have mercy on us all, Presbyterians and pagans alike. For we are all somehow dreadfully cracked about the head and sadly needing mending. Heaven have mercy on us all. As we wrap up the second point and move on to the final point, I want to remind you of John's words in 1 John 3:10. He says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Heaven have mercy on us. And God does in his Son, Jesus Christ. That God drives us in showing us how we fail to keep this commandment to Jesus and to the gospel, which is our only hope for keeping this commandment. That God shows us, God shows me I'm a murderer in my heart. that I hate my brother. I hate my sister. And I don't have to murder them physically, but I can kill them with my apathy and indifference. I can kill them with my silent hatred of them. And God shows me, I need Jesus. God shows us, you need Jesus. We really do need Jesus. 1 John 3:16 says this, by this we know love, that he, that is Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against them, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us love, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That we learn and experience what it means to not murder, what it means to love, what it means to breathe life in Christ. That Jesus shows what it means to not murder. Jesus shows us in that in all that he did, it was to give us life. It was to give us peace. It was for our well-being. It was for our sake. It was for our benefit. So that when Jesus sees us, even in our sin and anger and hatred of him, he moves toward us. He takes the penalty our sins deserve upon himself on the cross. God pours out his wrath on Jesus for you, for me. But not only that, Jesus gives you and me his perfect righteousness so that you and I might know that really we do have peace with God. That even as we struggle in our murderous hearts, the work is done. It is finished. Jesus has dealt with your sin. Jesus has dealt with your anger. Jesus has dealt with your insulting of people made in his image. He really has made you righteous. He has made you whole. His Spirit lives in you. And because he has made you righteous, then and only then he calls you and me to be what he has made us. Because I have made you righteous, be righteous. Because I've given you life, give life to others. Do not murder. Do not take the lives of those around you. But actually, it is from there that you and I can begin to love. It is from that reality that Jesus has brought us to himself that we can begin to look at people and love them really and get in their lives and let them get in ours. Even though it's messy, even though it's hard, even though it's chaotic, and we learn to love, and we learn to forgive, and we learn to bring life. The Jesus in the gospel freed you and me from our murderous hearts. That's what he did on the cross. He died for your and my murderous deeds. It was our sin that held him there. And you and I do not have to bear the guilt and shame of that. It is finished. He has dealt with it. And if you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, I want you to know that Jesus extends and offers the gospel to you in the same way. That Jesus died for murderers. Murderers like us. And we might not murder physically, but we murder in our hearts. And we need Jesus, and you need Jesus, and he offers himself to you. Come and find rest in him. If you know yourself to be a sinner and a murderer, You are the very person Jesus offers forgiveness and life to. You are fit for the kingdom. I love the lyrics of a group called 100 Waters as they talk about, I think, what we have in the gospel, that we have the ability to love. We are empowered by the Spirit to not murder. But in one of their songs, Show Me Love, which I think is a prayer of a Christian and should be our heart's prayers, but they say, don't let me show cruelty, though I may make mistakes. Don't let me show ugliness, though I know I can hate. And don't let me show evil, though it might be all I take. Show me love. Show me love. Show me love. Don't let me think weakly, though I know that I can break. Keep me away from apathy while I am still awake. I wish I could sing like their lead singer, Nicole, but I can't. But the song is really beautiful. And I think it, in many ways, is an honest look at the prayers of the people of God. That I know because of my sinful nature, I can turn a blind eye to people in need. I know I can write people off easily. I know I could say, that's just not my problem. That's their problem. And God says to me and says to you, show love. Impart life. Impart the grace of Christ. People of God, you are not defined by your sin. You are not defined by your anger. The Lord of all calls you His. You are His. He has given you life. He has shown you incredible grace and mercy at His expense and calls us to do the same. Jesus has made us anew. He is restoring us through our communion and fellowship with Him and one another, and He will restore all things to perfection. So let us love in word, not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And let us breathe the life of Christ into all that we encounter. Let's pray. Father, if we are honest, we know that your law is good. We know that your commandment is right and holy. And every part of us wants to resist it. Every part of our sinful nature wants to turn away from you. And God, we ask that you would help us to see Jesus in the gospel. We ask that you would give us hope, that you would give us joy, that you would give us the fortitude to walk after you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you for your patience and forbearance to us in Christ. We thank you for imparting life and grace and truth to us. And we ask, God, that you would help us to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we would not murder them. We ask that people would know and experience the love of God as they come into our fellowship. We ask, God, that you would give us hearts that long for the care of one another, the love to one another. We ask, God, in a word, that you would change us and make us more like yourself. Until the day you return or call us home. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Perry is going to lead us in our time of communion. So, all right. So if you would stand and get in circle, as we always do at New City.
The scriptures tell us that the devil is a murderer from the beginning, and that his intention is to destroy us, to deceive us, to mislead us. And we just turn on the news and our search engines, and we see every day the proof that evil is a reality in the world, and that as the wars rage across our screens and we see the pain of Syrian refugees and others, and our brothers and sisters who are Christians who risk their lives to gather and worship together. We know the reality of evil. And yet the Apostle John tells us that the Son of Man appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Where can we go to see a tangible reminder of the degree of his power and of his sacrifice? The writer to the Hebrews.